Saturday morning creating a prayer code for God. I am Pastor Lester Hayes, here along here with my wife, Pastor Sharon Hayes, from Freedom Christian Ministry. We're joined this morning by Pastors Eric and Phoebe, they have More Than Conquered Words for Christ Ministry. And we heard some other callers come on this morning. We recognize Sister Dale this morning. So we're going to get started this morning. So just stand by there. We're going to pray and get into what we're going to share with you this morning. Amen. So, Father God, we come this morning again in the awesome, incredible, amazing name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, Lord, to pray. Amen. According to the will of God, because you told us that men ought always to pray and not faint. You said if your people that are called by your name would just humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. So, Father, we're here this morning again as your children, saved, filled, sealed, walking, living in the victory that you have given us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We enter your gates this morning with thanksgiving. We come in your courts with praise. We're grateful, humbly thankful for what you've already done, what you're doing, and what you promised to do. Lord, you promised to save households. You promised to save us and our seed. So we thank you this morning. We're grateful to you this morning because there is no other name by which men can be saved. And so we lift up the name of Jesus above our families and families of the world, over the lost souls that are out there, over the backsliders that are out there, prodigal sons and daughters that are out there, this untoward generation, God, that we lift up the name of Jesus this morning above them. And we just pray in faith this morning that your will be done in our life here on earth as it is in heaven, and that your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor this morning as we come to pray in the awesome, incredible, amazing name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just thank you this morning and praise you this morning for saving us, and we're saved, healing us, and we're healed. We thank you this morning that you are our praise, and we will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. We will greatly magnify the Lord. We'll lift up and exalt your holy name, Lord God, as long as we have breath in our body, we will praise the Lord. You said everything that have breath ought to praise ye the Lord. So we thank you and praise you this morning, Lord God, because we have a weapon called praise. We have a weapon, Lord God, called the word of God, the sword of the spirit, Lord God. And so we thank and praise you that we have access to your word, and we put you in remembrance of your word because you watch over your word and hasten to perform it. So we thank you and we praise you this morning, Lord God, for giving us sound doctrine. And we're praying this morning that every believer out there will have a chance, Lord God, to be taught sound doctrine. We pray this morning that every Sunday school, Lord God, every Bible college, seminary, Lord God, hall, institution of biblical education, churches, pulpits, God, hallelujah, Lord God, classes, Bible study, Wednesday night, midweek, God, wherever there's a gathering in the name of Jesus and they open up the Bible, if they're not opening up the Bible, this is our prayer and our appeal to you today that they open up the word of God and begin, Lord God, to speak those things that make for sound doctrine, that the people of God may be established and rooted and grounded in sound doctrine, foundation that has already been laid, teaching of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, his death, his burial, his resurrection, Lord God, is our case and argument for salvation, God. And so, Father, we come against false doctrine, false teaching, false prophecies right now. We come against, Lord God, everything that is not of God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We're praying that it be replaced with the word of God, the pure and adulterated, infallible, authentic word of God, and that when we open our mouths as ministers, God, we speak only those things, God, that you have given us to speak, God, the things that you say, God, the things, oh God, hallelujah, that we have learned, oh God, the commandments of God, because only what we do for the Lord will count in the end. So we're praying this morning that you arm us with the tongue of the learned, that we will continue to study your word as workmen who need not be ashamed, that we can show ourselves approved unto God as workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, cutting it straight, adding nothing to it or taking nothing from it, using or adding no private interpretation, because the word of God interprets itself, God. So we thank and praise you this morning that every believer will be filled with the spirit of God, that we may be able to spiritually discern the word of God, because your word is spiritually discerned. A carnal mind cannot discern the word of God. So it is our sincere, heartfelt prayer and desire that every believer be baptized, sealed, filled, and with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence, Lord God, of speaking in a new spiritual language. So we give you praise, Lord, and honor this morning for your word going out, God. And we're praying today, God, that sound doctrine will go forth today, and the people of God will be increased in wisdom and knowledge and understanding above all things, God, that they will have a proper application to their everyday life, to everything that pertains to life and godliness will be established by the word of God as it goes forth, oh God, out of our mouth. God, it will not return void. Hallelujah, because we yield our tongues, our mouth to you. Holy Ghost, use them, speak through us today. Lead, guide, direct today. Shine light on the word of God today as we proclaim the good news of the gospel as we pray this morning. Father, we have many, many things that are going on. Young man set himself on fire. He's dead now, 37 years old, trying to make a statement, Lord God. What extreme measures people are taking to try to make a statement, God, that has nothing to do with godliness, oh God. But Father, we just pray that that soul, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord God, and rest in peace, Lord God. And we're praying, Lord God, for a discontinuation of others who are trying to make these kinds of statements by taking these drastic measures, God, causing harm to themselves and family members suffering the loss of a son or a daughter. We're just praying for your divine intervention, Lord God. We're just praying right now that those four people that are still missing, that under the key bridge, will be found, oh God. We're praying and be returned to their families. We're praying in the name of Jesus, those 18 people that died and 72 more that were injured on the bombing, oh God. Hallelujah. In Iran, Lord God, we're praying for an end to that war, God. Peaceful resolutions, oh God. We're praying for your divine intervention. We're praying for peace to be restored, oh Lord God, in Jerusalem and prosperity. We're praying for continuous flow of supplies into those regions that, God, it would put an end to starvation, Lord God. We're praying for those souls from Mr. Andrew's kitchen, Lord God, the 8 volunteers, their souls rest in peace, Lord God. We're praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the young lady, God, 47 years old, who was on American Idol, Lord God, died, oh Lord God. And Father, no one knows why, but we're praying her soul rest in peace. There are many, many folks right now that are dealing with death, Lord God. And Father, we're praying that before any person dies, that they'll have enough time to call on the name of Jesus and be saved, God. We're praying, Father God, for your will to be done in the lives of those that don't know Jesus, God, that there will come, Lord God, hallelujah, preaching and teaching of the gospel, that because the power of God and the salvation is in the gospel, God. And we're praying that more preachers will preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the lost souls of the world, Lord God, that they'll want to be saved, that they'll want to be convicted, that the power of the word of conviction and the Holy Ghost, Lord God, would touch them in a way that they'll be broken before you, God, and cry out, God, and say, what must I do? And we're praying that they will be told to repent, Lord God, hallelujah, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins and receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. That is for us and for our children and as many as the far and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, we lift up your name, Jesus, right now. We just pray for those that we've been praying for that are dealing with different illnesses, afflictions, and sickness, God. We're just praying for their healing this morning in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you that with your stripes, we declare them healed, sound, whole, and well. Oh, God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God. So we just thank you right now, God, for the word of God that's about to go forth. Sound doctrine, Lord God, as we pray this morning together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is your kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Now, Holy Ghost, have your way. Lead, guide, direct this morning, our thoughts this morning, our words this morning, our teaching this morning. Oh, let it be sound this morning. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. Amen and amen. All right, then. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, I'd like to welcome all of you this morning to the Saturday morning prayer and prayer closet for God. Just going to talk just for a few minutes here to you this morning. A thought that, I was yesterday doing my devotion, and I kept hearing three words. Well, I heard one word, and then two more words came as I thought about and pondered over. And the word that came to me was road, R-O-A-D, road, road. And I was thinking about what we've been doing. We've been kind of like trying to build a better life or the best life we possibly can while we're here on earth. And I started thinking about the earth is not our home, but we're sojourners. We're on our way to a destination. And before we get to our eternal destination, there's some work right here that we need to do to improve our life, our quality of life. We've been talking a lot about, you know, building up our body, our soul, and our spirit. And to have the best life we can is a destination. And there is a path to get us there. And as I thought about that word, it just came to me, road. You know, the road is the road you on in life. Life is a road. And we need to know more about being on the road of life, making sure that we're not just on a road going through life. Sometimes people go in the wrong direction. We know what that's about. And we have to turn around. And sometimes we use GPSs and they take us places and roads be upgraded. And we get all discombobulated and turned around. And so a lot of roads sometimes be heading in the right direction. And there's some folks intentionally on the road of life going in the wrong direction. So the key is to make sure we're on the right road and we're heading in the right direction so we can reach our destination. And immediately right now for us, right in front of us, is this the best life that we can have and produce and develop for ourselves, or is there something better, you know? And so two more words came to me off of that word, which was the path, way to get you there. And, you know, we talk about the path, the road, you know, in the way. And so those three words just came to me about the road, the path, and the way to get there. And so I want to talk about that this morning, because what we're doing is we're deciding how to get to our destination. And we determined here the last few days is that sound doctrine is the most sure way for us to arrive at both destinations, the best life, the better life while we're on earth, and then life eternal after this life. Because that is our final destination, is to spend eternity with the Lord. But if I don't travel on the right highway right now, I might go off a cliff, you know, and fall short or miss the mark where I'm trying to get to. And so I want to talk from a subject, the road, the path, the way to the best and better life and future, it comes as a result of sound doctrine. We got to have it. That is a guaranteed 100% sure way, sure path, and sure road to get me to both of my destinations. My earthly destination, where things can be better for my body, for my soul, for my spirit, for my mind, for my life. Some of us are probably already experiencing that. It is very difficult. Matter of fact, the Bible says the way of a transgressor card. That means you try to do it a different way. Sometimes we slip and lean toward our own understanding, and we pay a price. We create some circumstances, some situations arise. And thank God for us realizing it quickly. And then we go back to the doctrine, which was given to us. Doctrine, the word of God is good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. Tell us what we're doing wrong. And then it corrects us, you know, just like we reset that GPS when we realize I'm going in, of course, in the wrong direction. You know, new roads out there that ain't on the old GPS. So we have to be mindful of that, you know. Sometimes we see them detours and we ignore them and we go too far only to get down and say, man, I'm going out of the way. And we turn around. So it's good for correction. And it said it's good for instruction in righteousness that the men and women of God, I say man of God, but I say men and women, you know, because we all travel, we all drive, we all hit some destination somewhere here on earth and after we depart this earth. It's good for instruction and writing that the men and women of God may be thoroughly furnished and prepared unto every good work. That's why we're here. After we get saved, we're required to do good work. Now, a lot of people think works of righteousness prior to being saved is being saved. No, the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 3-5, the King James Bible, says it's not by works of righteousness that we're saved, but it's by grace through faith that we're saved so that we don't end up boasting about how good we are. or what we did or what somebody else did, had not have been for Bishop or First Lady or Leg Lady or whoever, then they saved my life. No, they didn't. There's only one Savior. This is why sound doctrine is so important. It frees people from thinking some man or some woman saved them or their works are right to save them. The doctrine says totally different. That's what makes it sound. You can stand on it. You can prove your salvation by it. That's your argument. You know, when someone says, how you know you're saved? You take them to the word. You know, the salvation comes through the power of the gospel, according to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the King James Bible. At least that's what Paul said. He said that, you know, hey, the gospel is the power of salvation unto all them who believe it. But how can you believe it except you hear it? And how can you hear it except preachers preach it and teach it to you? Book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 42, the King James Bible, Paul told them, ministers, we are commanded by God to preach the word of God. That's the sound doctrine. Don't get any more sounder than that. That doctrine is healthy for us. You know what I'm saying? And we know the Lord said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou wouldest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 of the King James Bible. So it's all scripted for us. This is why, you know, if we plan on getting to our destination here in eternity, you know, we got to be on the right road, going in the right direction, and then we got to be on the right path and the right way to lead us to the best, better life for our future. And it is as a result of sound doctrine. And some of the scriptures that I looked at was in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 105, chapter 2 of the book of Timothy. I mean, let me see, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 7 through 26. And I'm not going to try to cover all these verses, but you'll hear them again in the morning and in the future. Book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the King James Bible. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, 7, the King James Bible. And so when we think about the book of Matthew, I love this, the 7th chapter, verse 13 and 14, the King James Bible. It tells us now when we get on this road, how we enter is so important. Okay, when you set that GPS, sometimes we start driving in the direction, then we set the GPS. You know, bless God if we set it before we start driving. As soon as we pull off, it'll start talking to us and telling us where to turn. You'll see a map. Sometimes we get halfway down the road in the wrong direction, then we try to set the GPS while I'm driving, and it's very difficult. But before we enter, listen to what he says here. This is the same thing on this spiritual road, the spiritual path, and the spiritual way to get to our destination, both here and in eternity. It says, enter ye at the straight gate. I want to go straight to my destination. I don't want no curves. I don't want no detours, especially when it's a spiritual road I'm traveling on, the spiritual path and the spiritual way to get to my destination. I want the most direct route. You know, it says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's why I got to make sure I'm going in the right direction. I'm on the right road. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know why it's hard for them to find it? Because they don't first look into the word. Mm-hmm. They start thinking, if I just do some good, if I do this, all these other ways. And we learned over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, the King James Bible, and there's a couple other passages. There's another passage over there. And that passage said, there is a way unto man that seemeth right, but the end thereof leadeth to the way of destruction. You know? And I know about a few weeks ago, there was a young state trooper, you know, just entered into the force, chasing down a car, trying to serve a warrant on an individual, and made the wrong turn, man, and went off. The road was no longer there. Thought he was on the right road, trying to catch this person, and crashed his car and died, you know, at night. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to be so, so careful how we enter into this thing called life. That's why I say the best way to go, the best path, the best road is sound doctrine. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important in just a second. And so what does the Bible have to say about roads, paths, and ways to get things done. You know, it says narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. If you think for 1 minute, when Jesus said in this world you live in, you're going to have trials, tribulations, be of good cheer. He's already overcome. He's already gone that way. He's already been tested. He's already fulfilled the law. Didn't do away with it. So we shouldn't be struggling. That's why I say the way of the transcript is hard. When we try to go a different way, we try to lean to our own understanding. We try to figure it out in our own mind. You know what I'm saying? Why not renew our mind to the things of God? Why not let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in us? That's just a matter of praying. The book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, verse 5, it says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in us. That's just a simple prayer request. Then we let our thoughts come in agreement with God's will for us. But how am I going to know what God's will is if I enter into life out here dealing with situations and circumstances? I don't know what God's will is for me in that situation. I got to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and God will begin to show me the way. You know, we know Jesus is the way, okay? Yeah. Because it's so narrow and it leads to life if we will follow it. There are few people who find it according to that 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 13 and 14. And people who follow the broad way are usually very shallow in their thinking. They think that they got it figured out. They think that I can make it. Because I'm going to use, you know, I'm strong, I'm smart, I got experience. I've been here before, I've done that, I got the T-shirt and the hat. But let me tell you something. A lot of things that appear a certain way today ain't the way it really is. I'm speaking from experience. We've been on the road, the natural highway traveling, and we thought, last year, but now it's different. They got a bridge going over here, Mark, and everything looks different. And it caused you for a minute to wonder, am I on the right road? You know, you have to ask yourself that question. So a lot of people sometimes don't even take, they just keep driving on the phone, talking, just going down the road. And then when they get down, they be like, it used to be a service. It ain't there no more. Too late to realize that now you done went all out of the way, used up a half a tank of gas, paying the price that you didn't have to pay. If you would have said it before you got on the road, if you would, the same thing with this course of life. Look into this perfect law of liberty, continue therein. I guarantee you, you will arrive at a better life, the best life that you can achieve, because it's the result of sound doctrine. You know, it will not steer you wrong. You know, we won't be rattled. We won't compromise. You know, we'll stand strong. Why? We're standing on the firm foundation. That sound doctrine, you know, Psalm will protect us. I love Psalms. I read Psalms all the time. Just about every day I read me several Psalms. Through the night I read Psalms. And Psalms just have me to project some things, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to build a better life for me, my family, you know what I'm saying? And I need a lot of work, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't drive a car anymore, but I'm driving my life. And I don't want to drive it in a ditch. I don't want to drive it too far in the wrong direction. So I like to read the Psalms. Psalms just put me in another state of mind. I start imagining all kinds. It's like I travel places in the spirit when I read Psalms. I do that with all the words, but Psalms is special. Listen to what David said here. He says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's in the book of Psalms, chapter 121, verse 8 of the King James Bible. I thought that Psalm was pretty interesting. To the Lord. See, once you become God, there's protection. The word of God is a source of protection, security, safety for us. You know? See what he said. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. That means that while you're traveling, if you have sought the Lord, you have consulted with the Lord, you prepared yourself, now you keep your mind stayed on him, and you will be alert. If there's something that pops up, you know, you'll be alert. Now, if you set that GPS before you put that thing in gear and took off, right away, these high-speed vehicles, I know we got one, it talks to you. So you got another voice that's speaking to you. Those things, man, are so sophisticated now, it's kind of hard to go wrong. You know, if you set it, you use it the way you're paying all that money for it, But the Bible is the same way. If we take this Bible and use it as our GPS to get through life, we will avoid a lot of pitfalls, potholes, wrong directions in life, you know, creating consequences and circumstances and situations. And we just use this word as sort of like a spiritual GPS. Now, I ain't got no scripture to say it's a spiritual GPS, but I'm just kind of making a comparison to how we get directions in the natural. We can also go to the Bible and get directions spiritually. David says it right here. Once you do, he said, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forward. The time you look in there, and you know, and we use the pray. We use the pray before we get on the road, and then we end up at our destination. Sometimes we arrive a few minutes early. Sometimes that thing will tell you, man, exactly when you're going to arrive. You know? And so, I mean, you know, the Bible does that too. It tells us exactly when we're going to arrive, you know, to our destination, when the Lord decides to come. You know, it says even forevermore. And then over in the book of John, one of my reference scriptures, chapter 14, verse 6 and 17, then Bible, listen to what Jesus says about the road of the path. He says, Jesus says unto him, I am the way.
Yes.
First thing he says, I am the way. So don't enter in unless we know the way now. Jesus is the way. And he says, I'm the truth and I'm the life. No man, listen to this now, coming to the Father. So he's speaking about travel. We're going somewhere. We're on our way somewhere. None of us coming to the Father on this road to life. But by me, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him, because you've seen me. And so it's very clear. We see the way, we see the road, you know what I'm saying? And we see the path. Jesus is it. He's all of that. You know, he's all of that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all packaged in one. I'm the road, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You want to put that in there. No one gets to the Father. Because when I looked it up, that's kind of what the way gave me. It said, one of the translators said road. So I'm sticking it in there, you know. I said, yeah, road, okay. That's what he had been saying to me.
Yeah.
You know, I kept hearing it. You know me, I had to go look it up. No one gets to the Father apart from me. That's our final destination, y'all. But if I don't travel this path on earth in light of eternity, I might miss it, you know. But don't take it for granted. We need to really, really know him personally. You know, in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 105 of the King James Bible, listen to what he says. The word, there's that sound doctrine now. Thy word, thy sound doctrine, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is why it's so important, you know, that we have that sound doctrine, you know, is our road, our path, our way. Okay, through life, if we're going to have a better life, the best life for our body, our soul, our spirit, our mind, our family, our families who are looking to us for leadership.
Come on.
When we say that for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Make sure I'm serving you too. Make sure I'm following Christ that they'll want to serve me. Don't just be wanting for them. Just don't be wanting for my neighbor, wanting for my community, wanting for my city, wanting for my school, my church. You know, what my group, whatever, want it for myself too. And then the Bible says, let your light, let our light so shine that men and women would see our good works and they too would glorify our Father which is in heaven. Paul told them, follow me as I follow Christ. We see it right there. What does road, a path, or way mean? Overall, biblical roads and paths or ways, sometimes they come as dreams. Because I thought I was dreaming that I was traveling. I know a lot of you do that a lot. You can go places in your dream, and sometimes you'll be trying to get somebody in church. Well, sometimes just take it for what it is. You don't have to go share it with everybody. You don't have to have nobody in church. When the Lord spoke to me about roads and then ways and then paths, first thing came to my mind was I started thinking about scripture. Is there a scripture? Y'all know, is there a scripture? I didn't want to know it's just somebody can interpret it. I ain't want to go call nobody, share with them. You know, it was between me and God. It came like a dream. And what I did was grab my phone and I looked it up, you know, and that's what it said. Biblically, it's like having a dream that signifies that you are on a faith journey. When it comes down to the word, because faith coming by hearing, right? And hearing by the word. So the word is that it gives us that faith. So this is a faith journey. Some people say, well, I believe it when I see it. No, you got to believe it. I'll see it when I see it. No, you got to believe it before you see it. That's faith. You know, it's like a faith journey requiring spiritual awakening, because that's what happens. Faith coming by hearing. That's an awakening. That's a springing forward. That's a revelation. You can see now your path forward. You can see where you're going. Wow. That word is like that lamp unto your feet and light in your path. At the entrance of that word, it giveth light. You can see now. I can see the destination now, biblically, spiritually, and knowing your purpose in serving God is to know where we're going. We got to believe. We got to know what we believe, and we got to know who we believe, and we got to know why we believe. That's the only way I'm going to get to a better life now and a better life, a better future. You know, roads in biblical terms carry deep symbolism. They provide guidance about faith, choices, spiritual growth and maturity, and the pursuit of all these goals, but they got to be righteous goals. They can't just be any goal. I can't put other goals are great, but I can't put other goals above the goals that God has set for us. You know, we're trying to please God. Only what we do for the Lord is what's going to count in the end. Got to bear that in mind. So, you know, we're going to get ready to bring it in. You'll be hearing more about this. Let me give you one more scripture, and then we're going to go ahead and bring it in and give you a chance to make some comments, because I know you're bubbling over out there. So, this, all roads as a spiritual person, all paths and all ways through life, that faith journey that we're on, because without faith, we can't please God. If I come to God, I got to do it by faith, because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. I can't just dream about it. I got to be about it. I can't just think about it. I got to live it. You know, I got to live it. Listen to what this scripture talks about here. The road to righteousness, because we got to be like trees of righteousness, planted, you know, not just saying I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus, but we want to be those trees of righteousness that are planted with our roots tied around that doctrine, tied around them scriptures, you know, firm footing, you know, rooted and grounded. So when I say Abba, I know personally what gives me the right to say it. The doctrine does. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are the righteousness of God. We don't make ourselves righteous by doing good work. No. That comes after I become righteous through the blood of Jesus and cry out. Listen to what Book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 18, the King James Bible says. It says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Verse 19 says, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So check out something. And if it's something that did not get back on the right path, you know, if you run into a roadblock, turn around, go in a different direction. That's how you fix it. If you continue, remember, that's the way of the wicked. They know it's wrong. They know there are signs that telling you you can't go that way. There's a washout. The road is out. And you still go that way because you're thinking you can make it through. You know? No. You might need to readjust, reset your priorities, and say, no, this don't even sound right. This definitely don't look right. I'm going the wrong way. Sometimes the best person to correct is you, is ourselves. A lot of times we want to make that thing work. But we think we're so smart. We'll say to ourselves, it's got to be a way around it. There's got to be a detour up here. I've been down this way before. They might be upgrading the road and putting bridges through there. We don't know. Well, it's the same thing in the Word. Sometimes you have to be so careful because we can't lean to our own interpretation, our own understanding. Because the Bible says that when we do that, God cannot, if we don't acknowledge God in all our ways, he cannot direct our path. If we don't acknowledge him in all our ways, book of Proverbs, 3rd chapter, he cannot direct our path. He wants to direct our path in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So remember that. All right, then, when we're going to bring it in, again, just remember now that the path is straight. It's straight. You know, that path of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, as I close, sound doctrine means it's healthy for us. It provides a pattern that we can follow to get to our destination. When it's followed, it promotes healthy faith and love, a healthy soul, a healthy spirit, and a healthy body, because I won't be worried about how lost I am, because I'm not lost. I'm on that path of righteousness. Sound doctrine is teaching that rightly explains what God has revealed to us in his word. Well, we got to go there. Sound doctrine is essential to the church, the survival of the church, the health of the church, the maturity of the church, and the Christian life, because it is a central means by which we grow and mature in Christ. No other way. No other way. And all this doctrine is available to you. You know, I'm just passing this on to you because I had to check it out for myself. And then, you know, Paul speaks about it and warns about it. Unsound doctrine, it has an effect too in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, King James Bible, which we've already been over before. And so, you know, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, you know, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great number of teachers to say what their ears want to hear. But we're going to end right there. Father, we thank you. We praise you for what our ears have heard this morning. Lord, we pray now that we take this word and hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against you. We thank you, Lord God, for establishing us in sound doctrine, that which is accurately portrayed, that which is accurately proclaimed. We thank you, God, for the word of God reveals to us what your plan is, what's essential for growth and maturity in our own lives, Lord God, and in the church, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank and praise you now. We pray that every minister will preach and teach sound doctrine and say things that make for sound doctrine. Not just saying things, Lord God, to people with itching ears, telling them what they want to hear, not philosophy, not the wisdom of the world, of man's wisdom, God, those things that make for false teaching and false doctrine and false narratives in the life of people, Lord God, that only find them spiritually ignorant and shipwrecked, Lord God, on this ocean of life, that lost and heading in the wrong direction, God. And so, Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus that this word will adjust us, put us on the right path, that we arrive at our destination while we're here on earth, the best life that we possibly can develop and build for ourselves, and a better life with a better future and a better eternity with you, God. So we thank you for the result of sound doctrine, that we'll get to spend eternity with you when this life is over. But in the meantime, Father, you said, beloved, I wish above all things that I would have prospered and be in health, even as your soul prospered. You want our life, our way, our body, our soul, our spirit, our minds to prosper. And so, Father, we thank you for it. Now, seal this Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen. All right.